Grace to you and peace this day from Jesus the Christ, who comes to us in peace. Amen.
Amen.
Friends in Christ, sometimes I think we struggle to make connections with our ancient texts that we share here on Sunday. Sometimes these words that we read just seem too many worlds away to see the parallels at first glance. But here today, the connections couldn't be more obvious. I don't care how old you are. Anyone who has ever been picked or not picked for a sports team or for a job or for a promotion or homecoming court in this season, the list can go on and on. Anyone who has been picked or not picked can relate to this text, and I think that's just about all of us. One commentator wrote about this text as a person who had lost 150 pounds. She was thinking about her time before she lost the weight and how she felt that she was invisible in so many ways. People just overlooked her. And then suddenly, she had this huge loss of weight, worked hard to do that, and suddenly she was getting all kinds of attention that she had never gotten before. People were seeing her. They were holding doors for her. They were striking up conversations with her. They were even flirting with her. She's getting noticed. This is a text about being picked, being set apart from and actually above all the rest. It is the classic underdog story, David. It is the classic Cinderella story, rising to the top. The eighth son. Did you catch that? There were seven other boys, all bigger and stronger than David was. He was the eighth son. I thought seven was the holy number, but here the eighth one is selected. He is lifted above his big, tough older brothers, and he's the one that's anointed the king of Israel. If we haven't ever experienced something like this, some kind of a rise to the top story, I think we all have that desire somewhere to be the one chosen. And if you have been chosen, you know how good it feels to be chosen. I think this is a story that we can all relate to. It's pretty universal. And yet, it doesn't mean that it is not layered and very complex. Most of our being picked or not being picked stories are connected to something that's more external. Outward appearances is the first thing that comes to mind, but also outward achievements. The impressive resume, or the advanced degree, or the expansive portfolio, these are all just more forms of outward appearance. These, like big muscles or beautiful flowing hair, are just things that we can point to that make us valuable. Outward appearance. The complexity of this text is that God is looking beyond, looking past, looking through all of these things to a much deeper level. God is looking at the heart, the inner being, the soul, the center. The things we can point to, whether those are innate things or achieved things, those aren't disqualifiers here, but God just looks right past them all. They're not bad. Did you catch that? It's interesting in this text that despite all this stuff about appearance doesn't matter, did you hear? He's handsome. He's handsome and he has beautiful eyes, we hear. Isn't that interesting? I thought appearance doesn't matter. Why include that detail? I think it's fascinating. Some authors talk about his handsomeness, his beautiful eyes, as maybe referring to the fact that David kind of had an effeminate look. He was a pretty boy. Others argue that and say, no, he's got the makings of a great warrior. Seems a little of both to me, honestly. Does it matter to you how David looked? Would you care if your king was a little bit effeminate, for example? Would that bother you? I like that this detail is included because I don't think we can ever really be blind to appearance. I think if we're honest, those things do matter to us. We notice those things. We see those things. We look at people. We size them up. I don't think we can ever be totally blind to appearance. It is too difficult for us to only see deeply. I think it's good that David's description is here. It makes us think. Most of the time, we'd rather just look. It's too difficult to see deeply. would rather just look. Just looking. There's a difference that I'm making here. When we're not at our best, we just look at each other. We don't see deeply. God sees deeply. And then calls us to do that as well. In this text, Samuel has an important role here as the prophet of Israel, as the one who anoints David. Samuel, the prophet, when Jesse's seven strapping sons are all lined up in front of him, he was just looking. He just looked at each one of them and sized them up. He thought he knew. He could see pretty obviously on the surface, he thought. But God led Samuel, called Samuel, really, to see deeply. And God calls us to see deeply as well. There's this great interplay with Samuel and God. We were introduced to Samuel last week in the story of Samuel and Eli when Samuel was just a boy, do you remember? And God called him in the middle of the night. Samuel has always had a funny relationship, I think, with God, but one that is always in communication with God. The funny thing is that it's not always clear communication. I think it's kind of cloudy communication with Samuel. I laugh when I think about Samuel. Did you hear that? Was that God? I don't know. I'll go back to sleep. That's a funny story. Eli, did you call me? No, that was God. God? It's a funny interplay with Samuel. And then in the story for today, it's funny too. It's almost like God is there on Samuel's shoulder. Is this the one we're talking to? Samuel's always got this dialogue going with God. I think it is kind of humorous. What did you say, God? Can you hear me now? What? Was that you talking? Am I hearing something else? Reminds me a little bit of Tevye, Fiddler on the Roof. Remember that character Tevye was always having this running dialogue with God, which was humorous, and it was a struggle sometimes. Sometimes I think when things are too quiet up there, what kind of mischief I can play on my friend Tevye. Remember Tevye says? It's a good relationship, and then his wife calls him, and he says, I'll talk to you later. And then he goes over to his wife. It's a wonderful running dialogue, and I think of that as I think of Samuel. Sisters and brothers in Christ, it is easy to get into this text for today. There are so many connecting points, but it is much tougher to respond to this heart question. What does God see deeply in your heart? All this external stuff really doesn't matter. What's way down there at the core, that's what God sees. Some people can have it all put together on the surface. Upstanding citizens, moral in character, they're admired by everyone. Some even mask up in clerical collars and fancy church robes. Others kind of stay out of the spotlight and just live very humble lives, doing all kinds of really good deeds quietly, going about their daily work. Others are heroes and role models. And yet, our hearts can sometimes be cold. And callous, and clogged, even angry. What does God see deeply in your heart? God chooses David not because he was perfect. You didn't know that before. We will find it out as the story goes on. David was far from perfect. David was all too human. He got in all kinds of trouble, all kinds of tragedy in his life, like so many other characters in the Bible and in this room, in this church, in this world, of course. David was not perfect, but God chose David not because he was perfect, but because his heart was good. This is what we know about David. His heart was good. In other words, there was room in that heart for God, for God's peace and God's presence to flow. A clean heart, rather than a cold or a callous or a clogged heart, a clean heart is a heart that beats to God's rhythm, a heart that makes room for God's presence and God's peace to flow, come in and go out. We are but vessels. The external stuff is fine. It's okay to be handsome. It's neither here nor there, though. It's It's okay to be admired. It's okay to be rich. Whatever. These aren't deal breakers. They can get in the way. That's true. But God goes much deeper. God cuts right through all of that and sees the real you way down there. And you know what? God likes what God sees when God looks at you. You know what? You are good. Your heart is good way down there. How do we know this? Because God made you. And God called you good. Are you perfect? No. None of us are. But through Christ, God then forgives us all our shortcomings, all our wrongdoings. What did we say in our confession and forgiveness here at the beginning, back at the font? We said, we look for you, God, in beauty, grandeur, bluster, but we miss the humble, quiet ways you choose to make yourself known. We strive for status and success and fail to see how you might use us in our failure and our weakness. We wish to be popular, forgetting that you have called us to love the unlovable and make our home as you have, with the forgotten, the despised, the voiceless. Forgive us, God, and restore us again to your grace. We all said this together. And then we heard, the Lord is quick to forgive and eager to grant second chances. Take comfort that God is merciful and never failing in compassion. You are forgiven. Proclaim it, rejoice in it, and live in it. And then we sang, we are called. Making room for God to come in, to go out. You see, a clean heart makes room for God's presence and God's peace. A clean heart is a heart that beats to God's rhythm. God makes us good. Jesus frees us from our bad, from that just looking, we can all do sometimes, just looking. And then the Holy Spirit goes with us now, thanks be to God, as we live into this new day, as we lean into a closer walk, as we lean into a deeper vision, as we try to see each other even more deeply, beyond just the external stuff. You too are seen. You too are anointed. You too are blessed, and you are in communication with God. It might not always be perfectly clear, like Tevye. You too, sisters and brothers in Christ, are forgiven, called in, and now sent out. Amen. Thank you.